right arm, upon the very spell scar of the goddess whose favor had granted her this power. With a trembling left hand, Catti Bree pulled back the sleeve of her robe. She looked upon the spell scar, the head of Mialiki's unicorn, as the mist dissipated, and she blinked repeatedly, wondering if it was a trick of the light, perhaps, or of her own lightheadedness with her loss of blood. For while the scar remained, it seemed even more distinct than before. More like a tattoo now than a birthmark, a unicorn's golden horn, and with the creature's head similarly outlined in gold. Another wave of pain brought a grimace and a reminder, and Catti Bree again began her chant, asking the goddess for more. The mist came forth from the unicorn, her divine powers intact and, she thought, even more powerful than before. She cast a third minor healing spell, and then, her thoughts clearing, brought forth a spell to heal more serious wounds, focusing her energy on her leg. She felt better immediately within the warm cocoon of the blue bathing light, like the softest of ocean water sweeping away the weeds. She sat up straighter, and even flexed her knee as the leg straightened out before her. She would survive her fall, and she would likely walk again the very next day, once her divine powers had renewed and she could enact further healing upon her battered form. Catti Bree took a deep breath and held it, then peeled back the sleeve of her left arm. The seven-pointed star remained, and like the unicorn head, it seemed more distinct now, like the work of an ink artist, except that its sketching was not golden but blood-red, like a web of angry veins pulsing out the marker of Mistra. What did it mean? Catti Bree tried to recall an arcane spell from her repertoire, but alas, like the levitation earlier, those memorized Dwyamras were lost to her, a jumble of nonsensical words. On a hunch, she considered one, her favorite fireball. She closed her eyes and thought back to the very first time she had cast that spell in another body a century before, and she tried to fight her way through the incantation jumble. Now the words sorted, and she heard her own chant, part ancient, part new, and a fiery pea appeared in her hand. She threw it out and willed it out from her, into the air and away from the trees, and there it exploded appropriately, a burgeoning fireball, and the blue tendrils of magical energies glowed around her left arm, around the symbol of a seven-pointed star. Catti Bree stared at it, and shook her head. What could it mean? As she continued to stare upon the spot, the flames dissipating to nothingness, something else caught her eye and brought her more questions. She saw the first twinkles of starlight as twilight descended upon the land. But where was her conjured storm? She looked all around. The sky was perfectly clear. Her spell had failed utterly. What could it mean? What does it mean? Lady Avalier asked Lord Paris Ulfbinder the very next day. She and her minions were managing to enact some magical spells, but only barely and only selectively. Instability, Paris replied, and he seemed and sounded quite shaken, Lady Avalier noted. I spoke with Lord Draco quick this morning. It is perhaps as we feared. Explain. The Netherese lord shook his head. Something is upon the world, both worlds. But there is nothing I can yet explain. The 12 princes have sought out the wisdom of the priests. The old ways? The old gods? Where is your former student? Paris asked. You have located her? Rukia? Lady Avalier held up her hands helplessly. You said that you did not believe her to have perished in the fire. No. Certainly it was not her withered body that we found among the rubble. Then where is she? Nowhere near to us, I am sure, Lady Avalier replied. I have magically surveyed all of Netheril. West, Paris interrupted. Search in the west, the Sword Coast, Luskin, Icewind Dale. Lady Avalier looked at him curiously. What do you know?
Of course, I did my own research and inquiries after you came to me with that most interesting tale, he answered. A lone mountain you described.
It could be anywhere.
It could be Icewind Dale.
Lady Avalier shrugged, for the name meant nothing to her.
A stretch of barren tundra through the spine of the world mountains north of the city of Luskin, Paris explained. Few live there. Fewer still travel there, but it was once the home of Drizzt O'Erden, Brunner Battlehammer, and his adopted daughter Catti Bree.
As was Mithril Hall.
And the towns of Icewind Dale are built in the shadow of a singular mountain rising from the tundra.
Lady Avalier licked her lips and digested the news. It could be.
Direct your search between Shade Enclave and Icewind Dale, Paris commanded. You will likely find this missing girl.
And then?
Watch her. Do not return her to Shade Enclave. Let us learn what we may, but safely from afar.
We remain 5 years from her appointed meeting, Lady Avalier reminded him.
A speck of time in the cosmic calendar, but more than enough time for clever Lady Avalier and her coven to find this wayward child, yes?
The woman nodded.
The libraries of Shade Enclave are being opened to all practitioners, Paris added as Lady Avalier turned to go. We must once again adapt our magic, it would seem.
The old ways?
The Lord shrugged. Who can know?
Rukia, perhaps,
Lady Avalier quipped, and she shook her head and smiled resignedly, helplessly, and Paris responded in kind.
Catti Bree felt much better the next day, even before she bathed herself once more in the healing magic of Mialiki. Her arcane spells remained a jumble, and she discovered that she could barely understand the delicate inflections of the incantations outlined in her spellbook. She felt as if everything magical had shifted several degrees, with different pieces going in different directions. She couldn't make any sense of it.
So be it, she said, and she walked out from under the pine tree boughs that had served as her bedroom. She looked at the rising sun, then all around, to the distant crags and north, where sat the high peaks of the towering spine of the world, though she could not see them from this vantage. She considered her approximate location and the year and season. She had plenty of time to get to Icewind Dale, years even, so perhaps a change of course would be in order here.